proof of our legitimacy in Christ. Faith leads to works. Works cannot save us. Works cannot save us. No one is ever saved by their own effort. We are only saved by grace, the gift of Jesus Christ, by placing our faith in Him. It's right here in our text. We put no confidence in the flesh because at the end of the day, we can never do enough good. Only the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ can do that.
Back at it today, friends, here on Live in the Light. I am your host, Shannon Stark, and you are in the middle of a journey with us through the foundational values of the church. Today, we're digging into unashamed adoration from Philippians chapter 3. Paul is coming at us here with his testimony. He says, I was working in my own way, in my own life, and by my own rules, but then God intervened and everything changed. Is that your story today? Here at Live in the Light, we are all about giving God the glory for life transformation. And if He's working in your heart in a big way through this ministry, we want to hear from you. You can connect with us on our website anytime at liveinthelight.ca or pick up the phone and give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. We are here because we want you to hear about the incredible life-transforming work of our Savior. So let's get back into Philippians 3 and unashamed adoration right now.
Man, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. How awesome would it be? Like, you've been sitting in church for weeks, months, maybe even decades, and the Lord just speaks to you right now and say, how do you know that you know that you know that you have true worship from your life and heart? The proof is a new heart. Second truth is this, the power of my worship, the Holy Spirit. We're going to continue on in similar themes here. Look at verse 3 again. For we are the true circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God. So here's the difference between fake worship and real worship. What is it? The Holy Spirit. Who worship by the Holy Spirit. There is no real circumcision of the heart apart from the Holy Spirit of God. Again, as I mentioned, this is why Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless you are born again by the Holy Spirit, you will not enter heaven. You will not be in the kingdom. You will not have everlasting life. Genuine salvation necessitates 100% of the time to be born again by the Holy Spirit of God. It's only the Holy Spirit that causes us to be spiritually circumcised of the heart. So we are genuinely, again, alive and engaged in true worship of Jesus Christ. We must be born of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, what are we left with? We're left with cold, dry, religion filled with empty ceremonies and often with legalism. I always say, man, I'm not religious, are you? I'm in relationship with Jesus Christ. My former life was religious, a whole bunch of do's and don'ts. Now it's alive by the Spirit of God in Jesus Christ. I remember several years ago, wife and I had the blessing of going to Israel. We were in Jerusalem and we visited the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And that's the traditional site. I emphasize traditional site of Calvary and the tomb. And we walked in there to observe this, and big lineups were there and all that kind of stuff. And we were grieved at what we saw. There was hundreds of people lining up and they were worshiping artifacts. They were worshiping a rock. Some took a handkerchief and they were wiping it on this rock where they thought Jesus was laid. And they were like kissing the handkerchief and they were worshiping these physical artifacts and elements they have because they thought if somehow they touched this and did this, they would have favor with God and somehow their life would be blessed. I'm looking at this from a new covenant and, you know, covenant grace perspective. I'm like, that is an absolute lie. Like everything you're doing right now is false. You are performing acts, seeking the favor of God. And we honestly, we're so grieved in our spirits to watch people to this day continue to strive in the attempt to please Lord with their efforts while all the time ignoring the very grace that Jesus Christ died in the first place to give us. It's hard to watch. And yet this is what the heart of man so often does. It's a worship that is not filled with the Holy Spirit. It's filled with physical acts of external religion. It is empty of any power or true meaning. The whole point, remember in John chapter 4, when Jesus meets the woman at the well and she's focused on worship at a geographical location, and Jesus says the time is coming and is now here when the Father is seeking worshipers, not worshiping on a mountain or this. The Father is seeking worshipers who will worship in spirit and in truth. What is Jesus saying? Worship now with Christ coming, dying, raised from the dead. Worship is no longer at a place. Worship now is in a person. See, before Christ, the people went to the temple to worship. After Christ, point to the temples, we are the temples. After Christ, we are now the temples of the Holy Spirit. That is an absolute game changer if we are alive in the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm gonna stop here for a second, just to apply a little bit here. I mean, we are the temple. If you're alive in Jesus Christ, we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you, how's your temple doing? Like right now, how's your temple? Is your temple dirty? I mean, you wanna find ways to ruin worship? Like, man, I haven't felt genuine worship for Christ in way too long. Is your temple dirty? Because that'll do it. Is your temple distracted? That'll do it. Is your temple filled with worldliness and, you know, meaningless pursuits and social media and entertainment? Is your temple divided? Are there just flat out divided interests and pursuits all throughout your temple? That will definitely hinder genuine affection and worship towards Jesus Christ. So when Paul says in Philippians 3, we are the true circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God, he is declaring true worship is not man-made. True worship is born of God by his Spirit. And loved ones, this is how worship in the Christian life begins by the Spirit of God. This is how worship in the Christian life continues by the Holy Spirit of God. This is why our worship must be powered by the Holy Spirit. By the way, like if you are looking to become part of Hope Bible Church, this is your single greatest entry point of finding yourself at the center of this church and ministry, is being a genuine worshiper of Jesus Christ filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. True worship catapults someone into the center of this church. Again, fake worship, watered down worship, you'll stay on the fringes. I want to speak to two people here today. First, I want to speak to the person, maybe we'll call you the sideliner, okay? No. First, I want to do this. I want to do the spectator. That's what I want to do. The spectator. You've been watching at a distance this church family for way too long. And you've been spectating. In some cases, you pull out and you see the people of God over there, and you get binoculars, and you're looking binoculars from a distance, and you're saying, oh, they're moving around and stuff, whatever. And I've had the Holy Spirit, I pray, is the one who's really saying this. And the Holy Spirit's saying to you, how long will you continue to spectate? How long will you be okay to watch from a distance other people engaging, worshiping, using their spiritual giftedness, giving to the kingdom? How long are you okay to watch and not actually engaged in the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, in the kingdom of our Lord? How long? The Holy Spirit's saying to you, man, listen, you got one life. You can't spectate forever. You got to get off your butt and get into the reality of what Jesus Christ has called you to. Some of us have been spectating way, way, way too long. Now I want to talk about the sideliner. The sideliner is the person you have been in the game in the past, but either you got benched for some season of sinfulness, whatever, or you benched yourself. Amazingly, COVID season, man, I'm so glad to be done and just moving on and let's go. Let's just see, like God is in charge and he is sovereign. I don't get it. I wouldn't choose it for ourselves, whatever, but I'm just so glad that is just, see you later. I traveled this week too. I'm just so, anyway, for another time. It's for another time. sideliners, again, like COVID, amazing, so many people have been sidelined and they've been okay with that. In fact, they've preferred it. Sitting at home on the couch in pajamas, sipping coffee, doing whatever, and just like no engagement, just like appealing to the flesh. Again, you've been in the game before, it's time to return. The Holy Spirit says to you, let's go, son and daughter, let's go. Let's go, life's too short. You got one life. Jesus Christ is worth it. Let's get back in the game. Let's love his church. Let's serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's sacrifice ourselves for the only one who is worthy. And if you continue to be a spectator or sideliner, here's what happens. If you're alive in Jesus Christ, you won't be happy. This is the thing that God ensures. You will be miserable. You won't be happy because God will make sure you're not happy. Because the greatest purpose of a... Now, if you can be sideline or spectate for like decades and not care, that's a very bad sign. If you have no feeling towards this and you're indifferent and it goes on for year after year, it's probably a sign that there's no true worship. If there is true worship, you will not be happy. You will be miserable. You will have to get back. Even right now, this message and this part right here in this verse, it is getting to your heart in a great way. And there's wonderful conviction. There might be tears in your eyes. That's the Holy Spirit. And you know it's true because God is confirming it's true where you are. And you've been having conversations with God. And now he's putting exclamation mark on the things that he's been saying to you. That's exciting. Make sure you respond in obedience. But we won't be happy until we are filled once again. Won't be joyful until we're filled with, again, with a power-filled worship. And again, this isn't me just preaching to you. This is my own life, my own context, that I have areas of my life. I have to repent. I have to return. I want to seek renewal, and I want to rejoice again in the Lord, man. There's stuff that God is working on me and my heart. I want you to know that. When it comes to worship again in this church, again, it's been wisely said, when you walk in here for a Sunday morning, listen, are you a thermometer taking the temperature of the worship and deciding that you don't like it or it could be, or are you a thermostat? Are you setting the temperature for the worship, man? You give me a church filled with thermostats, look out. Look out. Coming in from Monday to Saturday, you've been living a life of worship, of love of Jesus Christ. You're not perfect, but you've been seeking him, and you come in Sunday morning and you're ready, let's go. And hearts full and voice loud and hands raised and heads bowed, whatever it is, ready to go. But a whole bunch of thermometers coming in, deciding what they like and don't like. And that song's not very good. And this one, I didn't get my parking spot this week. How come? That's not going to go anywhere good. That's not going to happen at all. And so many churches are filled with thermometers that sit around and just complain because they're not receiving what they want. Help me understand this. When did you start to define worship as what you get as opposed to what you're supposed to give to Christ? Where did that come from? It comes from the obsession of self. And when the church starts to be filled with consumers who are dissatisfied with the product, is the beginning of the end of any power finding his way in to the center of the church of Jesus Christ. God help us, God forgive us. And just maybe on behalf of me, I repent. I repent.
Hey, listeners, we'll get back to Robbie's message in just a moment, but we wanted to pause for a second to ask, did you know that you can catch up with past messages from Living the Light on our website? Previously aired series are archived there and available to listen to at any time. You can also tune in anytime wherever you get your podcasts. So on that, happy listening. Now, let's get back to today's message.
Worship is giving to Christ, the one who is worthy of all honor and blessing and praise. And this is what the Holy Spirit empowers, not the complaining about what we didn't get. The filling for what we want to honor the Lord. And that's an amazing lead into our third truth, which is this, the purpose of my worship, Christ's glory. The purpose of my worship, Christ's glory. What a sweet verse this is. Verse 3 again, take a look. We are the true circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God. Look at this. And glory in Christ Jesus. The purpose of our lives is right here. The very purpose of our existence is to glory in Christ Jesus. Do you see the word glory in verse 3? So this really hit me hard this week in a fresh way. I've said this word a million times in my life, looked at it thousands of times in scripture in a fresh way this week though. Just the word glory, just a thing to study. The word glory carries the idea of boasting with exultant joy. When we glory in something, it's what we're most proud of. It's what we find has the most worth in our lives. To glory in something is to declare it the most important thing or person. What you glory in is what you're most fired up about. You glory in that which you love the most. Now remember, we say worship. The etymology of worship in the English language is worth-ship. We worship what we place worth in. Whatever we value is ultimately what we will worship. We declare the worth of that object or that person. So a penetrating question for us right now becomes this today. Very, very important. What do you glory in right now? What do you glory in? What do you boast of? What is most, holds the most worth in your life? That's what you glory in. That is what you worship. The foundation of this church, the power in this church will be found by people who truly glory in Christ Jesus. You give me a church full of people glory in Christ Jesus, so many other things will come together. The power will be understood. The beauty will be indescribable. It's that simple, not easy. It's that simple, but powerful. Who and what do we glory in? Worship reaches its highest purpose when our glory is truly in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you know me for a bit. You will know that I'm a big football fan. I used to play football in university. I used to be an athlete. I stress the word used. I used to be an athlete. But I love watching football still. I'm a huge Buffalo Bills fan, okay? That's a team in the NFL, in case some of you have no clue what I'm talking about. And I've suffered cheering for the Buffalo Bills for many, many decades. It's been about 35 years or so, 40 years that I've been cheering for them, but I've stuck in all the way through. And so for the first time in like many, many years, the Buffalo Bills now are like ranked the best team in the NFL. Can't believe it. Our family's in shock. We don't know what's happening, but it's also pretty exciting. So the season has just started and there's two games in and the Bills have destroyed their opponents and it's only like elevated the hype even more. And the city of Buffalo and some people around here too, they're just going nuts. It's crazy. It's just excitement's everywhere. I was watching the game this past Monday and the Bills ended up destroying the Titans. And I was really happy about that. But as I was watching the game, I was watching the crowd and it just had a moment where all of a sudden I felt so sad. Say why? I was looking at the faces of the people in their enthusiasm, and one or two guys in particular, the passion, the emotion, the dedication, the commitment, the sacrifice for this team. And I realized, and some of these things are in my heart right now, and I was like, I looked at a couple of guys, I can't judge hearts, but from everything I could observe, those individuals are literally glorying in the Buffalo Bills. Their glory is in that team. And I became grieved and sad because that glory will never, ever last. And that glory will never, ever ultimately satisfy. You rise and fall with the temporal nature of that glory. Now, some of you, you have no idea about NFL football, but I could suggest, you know, European soccer and some of the Premier Leagues in England, whatever it is, and people over there are glorying. Some of you right now, your glory is your house. Some of you glory in the stock market. You rise and fall as the stock market goes up and down. Some of you are glorying in celebrities. Your glory is the obsession with other human beings that you idolize and worship if that is left unchecked. My heart's so sad. Because the only glory that will last, the only glory that fulfills, the only glory that actually brings us purpose is the glory found in Jesus Christ, the Lord. Our world desperately searches for temporal forms of glory. They will never, ever, ever be satisfied because they can't. They just will not last. Question, what do you glory in right now? What do you glory in most? What idol is diminishing Christ's glory in your life? What relationship is diminishing his glory? What sin is diminishing his glory? Is slothfulness or laziness diminishing his glory? Our highest purpose is the glory of Jesus Christ. I've always loved this quote by John Piper. I've used it in the past and I just thought it was so good right now. He says this, we are all starved for the glory of God, not self. See, our world's like self, 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 self. He says, I love this. No one goes to the Grand Canyon to increase self-esteem. Isn't that so insightful? No one, I've been there, no one goes to the edge of the Grand Canyon and says, I am amazing, right? Like no one does that. Like no one stands before a star-dusted sky, you know, the brilliance of summer or else, and sees us and be like, I am incredible. No, you're there and you feel infinitesimally small. You stand on the edge of the Grand Canyon and you're just longing and starving for glory beyond yourself. Otherwise, millions of people wouldn't go there every single year. The human heart has been given eternity. We have eternity within, and we are so desperate for something greater than ourselves. But everything our world is teaching us and indoctrinating us with is self is where it's at. That is a disaster. Look what Piper says. Why do we go? Because there is greater healing for the soul in beholding splendor than there is in beholding self. But our world is teaching self, 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 self. And that's why suicide rates are as high as ever. That's why despair is as high as ever. That's why misery is as high as ever. Because as long as self is the object of our worship, we're dead. It's over. The self can't possibly sustain the demands and the expectations that the false teaching of our world is giving to us on a daily basis. We are starving for glory beyond ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at it. Man, I pray someone's life will change right now through the understanding of this verse. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts. Why? Why does God shine the light of his son? The light of Jesus Christ comes into this world through death and resurrection. Listen, to give light. Light what? What does the light of, the light of Christ gives us knowledge. Knowledge of what? The light of Christ gives us knowledge for the glory of God. What do we learn from the light of Jesus Christ to the knowledge of God's glory? We learn this. We have the knowledge through the light of God. The glory of God is only found in one person. The glory of God is only found in the face of Jesus Christ, the Lord. This is why he shone his light into this world. This is the only person we will ever find true purpose in. For 22 years, I did it my own way. When I was 22, this is what happened. The light shone in my life, granted me knowledge by the Holy Spirit. I saw the glory of God. I saw the glory of God is fully 100% rooted in the Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord, who lived and died and rose again that I might be saved. The only purpose we will ever know that will last for all of eternity is only found in the face of Jesus Christ. Who's that for right now? You have been desperately trying to find purpose and meaning. It will never work and you know it. You've searched everywhere. You've tried substances. You've sought through entertainment. You've been doing that. It will never work. Just like I did, by the way. Just like I did. And today, God won't let you go. Today, Jesus Christ pursues you. Today, in love and grace and mercy, he continues to woo you to himself, and he has spelled it out today as clearly as he can. The purpose you search for is found in one person alone, in the face of Jesus Christ. Give your life to him. Surrender your sin to him. Ask him to cause you to be made alive, that true worship will flood your life, that you might experience true purpose for the first time ever. One verse today, here's our outline so far. I just wanna recap, I really like this one. The proof of my worship, a new heart. The power of my worship, the Holy Spirit. The purpose of my worship, Christ's glory. And then we see this, the posture of my worship is dependence. Look at verse 3 again, right? So much from one verse. Isn't God's word amazing? Verse 3, for we are the true circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, notice, and put no confidence in the flesh. Wow, I love that so much. So the Jewish false teachers were literally placing their confidence in the flesh through circumcision. Literally, their confidence was in the flesh. Paul kind of tagging on to this false teaching here, and he kind of exposes it and says, we put no confidence in our efforts. It will never be our works that lead us to salvation. I think I've said this already in the service. I want to make so crystal clear. How are we saved? Not by works, not by works, not by our effort. Works come after genuine salvation as a proof of our legitimacy in Christ. Faith leads to works. Works cannot save us. Works cannot save us. No one is ever saved by their own effort. We are only saved by grace, the gift of Jesus Christ, by placing our faith in him. It's right here in our text. We put no confidence in the flesh because at the end of the day, we can never do enough good. Only the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ can do that. Posture of our worship in light of this truth then, as Paul here, is humility, dependence, heads bowed, hands raised, hearts surrendered, lifestyle of worship. A life of worship is the posture that flows from true worship in our lives and hearts. I want to just end our time here with a couple of questions for you to consider today. Question number one, how would you currently describe your worship? How would you currently describe your worship before the Lord? Question two, where is your worship right now? Where is your boasting? Where is your glory? Where is your greatest affection? Where is your worship right now? Third question for some. Have you ever truly known true worship? Have you ever been granted truly a new heart? Today could be your day. Man, I pray today's your day. The Holy Spirit working on you right now. You've played some games. You've attended services. You've spoken some verses. You've spoken Christianese. But there's been no actual transformation of the heart. And today, by repenting of sin and begging God for eternal life by the Holy Spirit, he will give you a new heart. He will cause you to be born again. He will make you a new creation. And for the first time ever, just like me at 22, you instantly have an awareness of genuine worship coming from your life. Man, that'd be awesome. Question number four, are you willing to pray for a greater worship individually and a greater worship corporately for this church? Are you willing to pray for a greater worship? Well, that's exactly what we're going to do right now. We're going to take 2 or 3 minutes and we're going to pray. You can pray any way you want to. You can pray right out of the text. So much here today to pray for. Let's pray for a greater worship. Let's repent to the Father that our worship has been weak. Let's beg Jesus Christ to make new hearts come alive. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to put a new song in our mouth. So again, I really encourage you, 10:15, this is you. Have courage. Let's pray the power of prayer right now. Gather with people around you. I'm going to join in together and ask the Lord to do what only he can. Take 2 or 3 minutes, and then we'll move into musical worship. So let's do that. Let's pray now. Amen.
That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light. Oh.